You're listening to Preferred Perspectives with host Morgan Mattson, founder and president of Preferred Counsel. It's the San Antonio legal podcast that covers all things legal careers, staffing, and industry trends. It's real talk. It's real counsel. Now here's your host, Morgan Mattson.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Morgan Mattson, president and founder of Preferred Counsel. Welcome to another interesting podcast. Today, you're in for a treat. We have with us Sarah Dingovan, Executive Director of the San Antonio Legal Services Association. As you all know, this has been a very trying time for everybody in our community as we deal with the disastrous effects of COVID-19 and a critical role in that. And so I wanted the audience to know the ways that it could be of help to people during this trying time. Before we get to SALSA and its important missions, I want you to know a little bit about Sarah Dingovan. And so you can know a little bit more about why this role is so important to her, because you can tell she's got a true heart for service. Double graduate of Emory University with a Bachelor of Arts in History to Emory University Law School. After that, she enlisted as a JAG with the United States Air Force and spent 6 years serving in that role with her last couple duty assignments in San Antonio, where she stayed. After completing that service to the country, she became a contract appellate attorney with the New Jersey Office of the Public Defenders, and then found her way to the Community Justice Program for a couple of years, and has since been serving as the Executive Director of San Antonio Legal Services Association. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Morgan. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on. And as I opened up with the discussion of the Community Justice Program, many of the people in our audience know about CJP. That's what a lot of people refer to it as. But now you're the executive director of SALSA, the San Antonio Legal Services Association. And so can you explain to us two organizations and their history and how they kind of became to be one?
Sure. So the San Antonio Legal Services Association is a new name, but it is an old organization that has recently been rebranded and relaunched to try to expand our pro bono footprint in San Antonio. And as you mentioned, the Community Justice Program was the old name for the organization. And it was a subsidiary of the San Antonio Bar Association. So the program began in the early 2000s and was initially created because a few judges decided that there needed to be an expanded role for volunteers in the legal profession to make a difference. And it was a sort of a grassroots organization at its inception. And over the years, it was driven by the private bar and partnerships with Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid and other community partners to provide services in a number of different practice areas for indigent and at-risk folks in our community. As a part of the San Antonio Bar Association, the organization was able to allow for Bar Association members to give back to the community. But since it was wrapped up with the bar, the focus could never just be pro bono because the bar has many other important roles that it needs to fulfill. And right. about 2 years ago, the first steps were made towards changing the character of the organization from a subsidiary into an independent pro bono organization. And one of the first steps that took place that really set us on that path was the board of the San Antonio Bar Association, which was also the board of the Community Justice Foundation. We've always been a separate 501c3 entity since our inception. But the board appointed Robert Sosa. He is a partner at Jackson Walker and our current...
Oh, Robert, yeah.
Yeah, he's... If you know Robert, you know that he is just a committed member of our community who is a real force for change. He's an ideas man. He comes up with lots of great initiatives and is really committed to seeing them through. But anyway, the real change started when he was appointed by Santos Vargas, then president of SABA and the Community Justice Foundation, to head an exploratory committee about CJP becoming independent.
Okay.
And Robert pulled together a bunch of folks from the community who had really been invested in CJP's growth in the past, including Michael Parker, our current vice president of our board, Andy Kerr, and Lee Kusenberry, as well as Steve Darling. I think those are really the primary folks who just, you know, took the bull by the horns and said, hey, now is the time. There is a need in our community that is not being met. And the only way we can do that is by becoming a separate and distinct organization that can fundraise and create programming that's responsive to community need. And so all of those wonderful people came together, and that started the process for where we are today.
That's fantastic. I mean, you're mentioning some names of some heavy hitters, but really more importantly, people who have a heart of gold, people who have a servant's heart, people who recognize that there are problems in the community and that lawyers and paralegals and legal assistants are uniquely trained and qualified to help some of those people. And so it sounds like the SALSA has got a huge start moving forward.
We do. And I think, you know, our history gives us a unique opportunity, because even though we're very much in growth mode and feel like a young organization because we're really changing up the way we do things, we have such a supportive community of attorneys who have always, you know, tried to contribute through the community justice program. And now as we shift focus and we look towards creating more volunteers, those same folks who've always been very supportive are just allowing us to reach new heights. And I guess one of the things that we definitely have to mention is the strong partnerships we have with other people in the community who are serving vulnerable and at-risk populations. And I already mentioned legal aid, mm-hmm. and the folks over at Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid they're unbelievable. The amount of assistance they're able to offer with the very significant limitations that their funding places on them, it's admirable. It's inspiring. And I think being able to work closely with them over the last 6 months to build out a lot of new collaborative partnerships has been a really good reminder of all the work that's being done, but how much of a gap remains in access to justice in San Antonio. So we're very excited about where we're going. We know that the need exists. And obviously the last couple weeks, or I guess a couple months now, have driven that point home.
That's right. And talking about that, can you tell us a little bit more about how COVID-19 has caused you and the San Antonio Legal Services Association to rethink how it delivers the necessary legal services to those who otherwise can't afford it?
You know, we keep on talking internally about silver linings and ways that what's happened over the last couple of months have forced us to innovate. And one of those ways in which we've been forced to innovate is the delivery of remote legal services. So certainly SALSA is not the only organization in the country that is making this transition, but we're kind of in a unique position as we're creating lots of programs to be able to consider from inception how services can be delivered without that in-person requirement that has always been tied to the historic legal clinic model. And one of the ways that we have tested that theory is with a Wills for Healthcare Workers program that we launched just a couple weeks into the pandemic. And I think the story of how that began is a pretty good one, if you don't mind me sharing that with you, Morgan.
I think this is really interesting because we were hit all of a sudden with a drastic increase in hospitalizations. And then you had nurses and doctors and other healthcare professionals, of course, answer the call and show up. But then it presented a unique problem, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that you now had individuals who didn't know if they might fall ill to this virus, and were they not prepared for, you know, will. Is that kind of what you're discussing?
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, lots of people who don't know a lot about the legal profession have questions about how an attorney can help. I mean, you know, what can an attorney do to make a situation better? Well, one of the things that an attorney can do is they can offer peace of mind. And in an area like estate planning, that's particularly true. Mm-hmm. So I guess at March board meeting, one of our board members who's a corporate counsel with University Health System brought her concern to the group about her colleagues at UHS who were just really concerned. I mean, with the pandemic coming in, there was so much unknown disease transmission, all of that, you know, we're still figuring out. But certainly in the first couple weeks, there was a lot of fear. And when Serena Rivella, our board member, brought it to the group, the board's response was unanimously, well, we can fix that. You know, we can assist people with allaying some of their concerns about whether their families are going to be taken care of if something were to happen to them. And I think being able to recognize that you can actually have a role in assisting in a time of such great uncertainty was really empowering. I think, you know, we all want to help. Every single person in our community wants the help right now. There's just so much community passion for giving back. But when we identified a way that attorneys really could make a difference, the call to action was immediate. And the response we got was almost overnight. You know, we had, I think, over 200 attorneys signed up to assist within 48 hours of the initial call to action that was made by a handful of board members and some incredible community leaders, Sarah Dysart, Faye Bracey, and then Mary Stitch, who's also on our board. The response was incredible. And we had to innovate to come up with a way to utilize our traditional wills clinic model in a remote setting. And that took a lot of folks putting their heads together and coming up with ways to insert safeguards and ensure that the work we were doing was, you know, top notch. You know, the folks we are helping at deserve the same top-notch representation of any paying client. And that's something that we are very passionate about. So one of the things we did was, you know, we took our old model and we looked at it and we said, how can we provide these services without further endangering the lives of the folks we're trying to help? And through partnerships with University Health System and Christus Santa Rosa, we were able to work with notaries on site at the hospital so that after our volunteers draft the wills, folks can just go to work and get it taken care of without having to endanger the lives of themselves, their families, or any of our volunteers. And as soon as the decision was made, everyone was just up for figuring out how to overcome the barriers that existed. And we ended up having, I think, right around 400 legal volunteers. Assisting with the project. Yeah, I mean, talk about incredible. And the opportunity for each of those individuals to give back to the people in our community who are on the front lines, you know, preventing the spread of disease, preventing the, you know, taking care of the most vulnerable who are needing attention and care. A pretty beautiful story in the midst of something that has been pretty difficult to swallow for all of us.
That's a great way to describe it. I mean, it is. It's a beauty in the midst of just awful circumstances. And I like, too, the fact that it brings peace of mind to people who, you know, are doing their best to care for some very sick and hurt individuals and to be able to ease their mind that their loved ones are being taken care of is a great goal. And I'm glad that's happening. As listeners listen to this, Sarah, and learn more about SALSA, could you walk us through, like, how... I've been to your website and it's pretty user-friendly, but if someone were interested in learning more about the Wills for Healthcare Workers program, or there's another program I want to talk with you a little about in a second, the Tenants' Rights Program. But if someone is interested in becoming a volunteer with SALSA, how would they do that?
Sure. So we have a website. It's www.sa-lsa.org. So San Antonio-Legal Services Association.org, where we list our volunteer opportunities. And right now, as we have been forced to pivot and recreate how we do business, all of our volunteer opportunities are remote volunteer opportunities.
Okay.
And we are in the process of planning how to incorporate those going forward. I mean, even after the pandemic concerns are gone, hopefully soon, you know, we've seen some efficiencies gained with this remote representation. So we anticipate that those will remain available post-pandemic as well. But we have some great platforms that we use, some great software that we use that allows us to constantly update the available opportunities. And our opportunities really fall into two categories. The first is the sort of clinic model that we've been talking about, where there's a program with lots of clients, all of whom have the same legal issue, and the commitment involved is being a participant in the program, and the amount of time that your either advice or representation lasts for is pretty limited in time and in scope. Lots of mentors to work with. I mean, really, it's kind of the entry-level volunteer opportunity, but so many of them are so fulfilling that lots of people keep coming back and doing them over and over. And then the second really set of opportunities that we offer, and this is one area that why we made the big push to expand services is that there just aren't that many ways for folks to get extended legal representation when they can't afford it. And so one of the areas that we are working on growing is our extended representation volunteer opportunities.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So let me try and differentiate from the clinic model a little bit. So with our clinic model, we normally have folks who can come in, and even if they don't have significant subject matter expertise on an area, we have created training materials and have mentors available so that they can deliver services just, you know, without having, you know, to necessarily come in with that subject matter specific knowledge. But with our extended representation opportunities, we want to leverage the talents of all of these smart and committed attorneys in our local area within their own practice area. So for family law attorneys, if we have a veteran who comes in who has a custody issue and, you know, a spouse is attempting to take the kids and they've got concern that they're not going to return them and they can't afford an attorney, but we really want to help them, we want to make it that volunteer opportunity available to folks in the community who might have a heart for that kind of work. And so what we're working on doing right now, and as soon as our updates to our website are final, we will be posting these extended representation opportunities with basic case overviews online so folks can just log on to our website and browse and see if there are any cases in their practice area that move them, that make them want to just, you know, make a difference in the life of that vulnerable or at-risk person. And, you know, it's different than our clinic model. It's not mm-hmm. no better, no worse, just different. And we realize that not every volunteer is looking for the same experience. And so being able to offer both those clinic opportunities and those extended representation opportunities allows us to hit more people and to help more people. And that's been a goal of the program, you know, for the last couple of years as we've looked towards expansion of services.
That sounds like a good opportunity. How do you answer the question or concern, I'd like to help somebody out, but I'm not a family law lawyer?
Right. So I think in that instance, you know, I think that's why our clinics are such great fit. And I think you mentioned the tenants' rights program, and I think this is a good example of that. There are very few attorneys in town who do tenant representation. That's just not an area that people practice in.
Right.
For obvious reasons. I mean, it's not a very lucrative area. So people, they have to support themselves and their families. It's mm-hmm. not, you can't just focus on an area of law that doesn't make any money. I mean, and not surprisingly, you know, we don't have many people who are specialists in that area. But at the same time, that because that's not an area that folks traditionally practice, it's a pretty, you're dealing with people on the brink of homelessness without access to an attorney. And what we can do at SALSA is get folks who, even though they aren't tenants' rights folks, are able to get the requisite training needing to feel like a subject matter expert in that very limited arena in which they'll be helping the client. And, I think it's examples like the tenants' rights program where we can really show how lawyers can utilize those advocacy skills that we all, you know, have been taught and have learned through the course of our practice. You know, sometimes what folks just need is somebody in their corner willing to negotiate on their behalf to reach the goal that they want. And, you know, especially after COVID with the economic downturn, we have lots of folks who are going to be facing eviction for non-payment of rent. And rather than them just, you know, giving up and going out on the street, I mean, there may be opportunities for them to, you know, be rehomed somewhere, to come to a negotiation with the landlord to keep an eviction off their record so that they can rent again once they're able to obtain employment. And it's those steps that, you know, even our practitioners who certainly aren't, you know, tenants' right practitioners can easily learn and can just make, you know, a life-changing difference for folks by virtue of providing that advocacy and counsel on their behalf in a very limited scope setting. So yeah, so for folks who feel like they don't have the requisite expertise to help somebody, those clinic opportunities are a great way to gain it in a short order with mentors who are available to answer questions, assuming that any complications arise.
That's good. So someone can go to the website, they can find out more about the different programs, but they shouldn't be worried if there's something that interests them, but it's not their particular area of expertise.
Exactly. And on all of the listings that we have on our volunteer management site, provide details about the type of work that would be done and the resources that would be available to our volunteers. So, you know, there'll be mentors available. You know, there's a volunteer resources website that you're going to be able to go to where you can pull template forms and FAQs surrounding questions that might come up during the course of your representation. You know, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to give back to the community. And we're really leveraging technology in order to broaden the amount of resources that our volunteers have access to so that they can feel confident about the job that they're doing for their clients.
Talking about the job they're doing for their clients, I wanted to ask you, one of the sometimes unfortunate side effects of practicing law for a number of years is I've found that many lawyers tend to become jaded or maybe cynical. The law has a way of sometimes producing what can be a harsh or an unfair result. But with respect to SALSA and the programs that y'all offer, can you share with us maybe some success stories or what do some lawyers come away from after they've signed up with SALSA? What are the comments they make afterwards about any fulfillment or, you know, returning back to that idealistic thought that we all had when we were in law school?
Yeah, I think the ability to use your talents is something that we all want. I mean, as we work to hone our skills, you know, to be able to put them to work for a good cause is really fulfilling. And that's the feedback. It's the feedback we get over and over from our volunteers. You know, just the one-on-one connection with the clients, I think, is the piece that I hear from folks over and over. You know, when I helped, you know, Mr. Jones, I didn't realize, you know, how bad things had gotten for him. And when we were able to accomplish this goal for him, you know, this was, you know, one of the highlights of my year. I mean, we hear comments like that. It really makes us want to provide more opportunities because it's really hard to come by that sort of experience without having somebody like SALSA to facilitate it. A lot of attorneys want to help, but most of them don't know where to go to find somebody that they can help. There aren't a lot of community organizations that are set up for legal volunteers to access. So our goal is to be that connector between the attorney who wants to use their talents for good and that client who never would be able to access the justice system without some sort of leg up like SALSA supplies.
And that's even more true now, right? During this pandemic.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the access to justice numbers are pretty startling. You know, like the folks in San Antonio in particular, just given the demographics of our community, you know, we don't have as much money coming from large corporations and we just don't have the financial resources in the city to solve all of the problems. So we have folks who are, you know, are never going to have access to the courthouse with a guide unless they rely on a community organization like ours to get that service. And as more people lose their jobs, as more people, you know, that's why this tax write-off program is so critical right now. You know, legal aid is overrun with folks who are facing eviction and the non-payment of rent cases, which, you know, are obviously ballooning because so many people have lost their jobs, are a full group of people that otherwise would not have gotten assistance from legal aid because they're, you know, they don't necessarily have a legal defense to their eviction. But it's a way that volunteer attorneys can assist them with looking towards long-term stability, with, you know, really stepping in and empowering the community to invest in its folks. You know, the pandemic and the economic downturn have just exposed things that have always been there. And, you know, I hate to be negative about that, but I mean, we've always had an access to justice issue. It's just become much more obvious as the San Antonio community has faced this public health disaster. And, you know, and there's been lots going on recently with access to justice for underserved populations, including our, you know, populations of color, And again, those have always existed. They've just been exacerbated by what's happening right now. So, you know, it's great that some light has been shined on the inequality that exists with the access to the legal system. But we have a lot of work to do. I mean, unfortunately, what that means is if we're all looking at it now, we realize how much more there's left to be done. And that's why programs like SALSA and investing in community organizations like our community partner, Haven for Hope, is so critical so that we can provide the support for all of the folks who have fallen between the cracks.
Yeah, it is not an understatement at all to say that if you sign up for SALSA, you truly are making a difference in someone's life at a very critical point.
I certainly believe that. And I'd say that our volunteers wholeheartedly agree. We are so fortunate to be in such a community-driven city. I think that, you know, as somebody who's not a native to San Antonio, I've had an opportunity to live in lots of different cities around the country, and the community commitment that I've seen here is absolutely refreshing. We may not have a lot of the large infrastructure that some other large cities in Texas have, but we have lots of folks who are committed to improving our community. And I would be remiss in not mentioning, you know, how we have seen that community respond. You know, a couple of years ago after the Sutherland Springs shooting, we had attorneys coming out of the woodwork trying to assist with the folks who had been part of that horrible tragedy. And then after Hurricane Harvey, there were similar showings of support. And then now again, with the pandemic, we're seeing it happen. And it is a trend, you know, unfortunately, in response to some of the most horrible things that have gone on in our local community, but it is one that's inspiring, and it shows the commitment and the passion of the legal community in San Antonio to making a difference.
It's absolutely true. The San Antonio Bar is top rate. We have a caring group of lawyers and legal support staff that is second to none, and they always show up whenever asked. And I'm consistently amazed and proud at all of the work that was done for the Community Justice Program and now carried through the San Antonio Legal Services Organization. And it really speaks volumes to the community that San Antonio is. It was great having you on our show, Sarah. And as we wrap up, is there a final thought that you would like to leave our audience?
I guess at this point, I would say, if you feel like you want to make a difference, please consider checking out our volunteer opportunities, and specifically our tenants' rights initiative that we are working to get off the ground right now. The evictions have started again, and the next few months are going to be brutal for those folks who are impacted by the pandemic. So, boy, do we have an opportunity for you if you're interested.
That's right. And for our listeners, the website is www.sa-lsa.org or sa-lsa.org. And please, listeners, I encourage you to check out the San Antonio Legal Services Association. It's doing amazing work, but there's plenty of opportunity for you to get involved. I suggest maybe an entire law firm volunteer together, really come forward and show what San Antonio is made of, show the compassion that our city has for those who don't have access to legal services. I want to appreciate everyone for joining us on this episode of Preferred Perspectives. Please continue to monitor Preferred Counsel on LinkedIn and Facebook and subscribe to Preferred Perspectives via your favorite podcasting service. For more information about Preferred Counsel and its services, please visit preferredcounsel.net. Thank you again, Sarah, for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Morgan. Take care.
We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining this episode of Preferred Perspectives. Make sure to catch our next episode by subscribing via your favorite podcasting service and following Preferred Counsel on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, this is Morgan Mattson signing off. For more information about Preferred Counsel and its services, visit preferredcounsel.net.